and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Cindy Yu and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Katie Bors. So it's some aftermath of the London Bridge attack on Friday, and over the weekend the two main parties have been responding to the incident to find out what went wrong. Katie, catch us up on what's been said.
So since the news broke that a convicted terrorist who had left prison ultimately had a knife attack, which has led to two members of the public passing away, as well as some more who are still in a serious condition in terms of injuries. You've seen both the parties respond to this in different ways. Ultimately, the Conservatives have come out and actually said, we want to respond to this by looking at tightening up the justice system. So you had Boris Johnson, you know, writing a piece over the weekend and putting out idea of new policies. So 14-year minimum term for terrorist offences, the idea that you wouldn't be able to finish your sentence at all early, so the idea that, you know, you couldn't just do half. And I think that is in keeping with some of the things they've already done, but ultimately, one of the things has been trying to work out who is going to get the blame, if anyone, for this attack. So the Tories, on the one hand, have said that actually this is Labour's fault, surprise, because of the reason this person got released halfway through their sentence was down to a Labour law. Now, Labour have said actually this is the Tories' fault, and actually specifically the Coalition, because the Coalition got rid of or axed one of the systems in place, which was to keep an eye on parole and that side of things. What I think appears to happen, though, again, this is quite complicated and various people have different readings. It seems in a way that this incident almost fell through the cracks of two systems, that one was ending, one was coming in. So it's not exactly a black and white issue. And there are other, you had Boris Johnson say on Sunday, you know, there are 74 other cases like this, which are now being examined to see if this is a similar issue. Now, Jeremy Corbyn gave a speech on Sunday where he was talking about the war on terror in response to this, and the Conservatives have today gone further, announcing more policies. Now, the Conservatives specifically have been getting some flack for seemingly politicising this situation. One of the victims of the attack, their father, said that his son would not want this to be used as, I suppose, politicised, to be used for more draconian sentences, for the word he used. And his son was working for a prison rehabilitation setup, and it was a day to do with that where this all happened. But I do think if you're going to look at why the Tories are responding as they are, like, well, A, look to 2017. In that election campaign, there were two terrorist attacks, and actually the Tories were quite slow to respond in a political way. Labour were not. They made it about austerity and police cuts, and it actually did hurt the Conservative standing in that election. And secondly, if you look at some of the things the Conservatives are announcing, it's not really out of step with what Boris Johnson has been doing since he was in 10 Downing Street. The one area where the Conservatives have always been fairly relaxed to say that they are going to the right is on law and order and, you know, toughening up sentences, tightening the system in various ways. So I think it's probably natural that then in response to this, you push that side of it more. Some people won't like it, but that explains, I think, why they're doing what they're doing.
James, Katie mentioned there the 74 other jihadists who are still on release. We hear that one has been arrested since the attack. What do we do moving on from this? Do we need to tighten up the system?
Oh, yes. I think you clearly need to tighten up the system, in that it seems to me foolhardy to release under licence terrorists who have not abandoned the ideology that drove them to terrorism, as the London Bridge attacker clearly had not. And I think in a way this is a big test of one of the things Boris Johnson is trying to do in this election, is trying to say that he's running for his first term, not the Tories' fourth term. That's why when Katie and I interviewed him, he tried to distance himself from austerity, kept emphasising that he's a new government with a different agenda. He is trying to say, within weeks of becoming Prime Minister, I ordered a review looking at toughening up sentence for serious violent and sexual offences, ending automatic early release. But you obviously could say, your party's been in power for 9 years, why has this system not been sorted out? Now, Katie is right that some of the changes that the Tories have brought in, you know, there seems to have been a kind of gap between 2008 and 2012 where some of these problems emerged. But I do think this is a big test of whether he is running for his first term. In which case, he's got a decent argument that he has been consistent about wanting to toughen this stuff up ever since he got into Downing Street. Or whether people say, hang on a second, your party's been in power for 9 years. Why wasn't this problem solved already? I think in terms of, to be crude and discuss the politics of this, I think one of the other things is, it is hard to imagine that voters will think that Jeremy Corbyn would be tougher in terms of sentencing and the like than Boris Johnson. And it was very telling yesterday that Jeremy Corbyn wanted to, A, give a speech talking about Western foreign policy, and B, said on the Sophie Ridge show that he didn't think that terrorists should necessarily serve their full sentence. That is something that the Tory party is already going hard in terms of Facebook advertising and the like on Labour on that issue.
Do you think Jeremy Corbyn is out of step with the general public on this?
I think it's what Jeremy Corbyn thinks, but I think if you think about those seats, what Katie calls the red wall of seats that the Tories are trying to win off Labour, I think it's hard to think that the key swing voters in that seat, deciding between Labour and the Tories, share Jeremy Corbyn's opinion on that.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is, I think it can be easy to say, oh, Jeremy Corbyn is out of step with the public on this. But actually, you look at 2017, what Labour did very successfully was weaponise the issue of austerity, specifically on police cuts, and put a lot of heat on Theresa May, partly not just because she was Prime Minister, but because she had been Home Secretary for such a long period of time, to say, actually, you need to account for this. And that really surprised the Conservatives, because they were used to being the party of law and order. So when there was a terrorist attack, there was a sense that, well, this would clearly work for us, not for Labour. People might think that Jeremy Corbyn has, you know, strange relations with certain countries and the people he's met with. So I don't think it's as clear cut as that, but it's ultimately, can Labour make this about austerity? And you have seen them start to try and do that on the issue of parole, on the issue of, you know, probation officers, and you've seen a push. Or is it actually what Boris Johnson's line, which is going to be more in step? And I think we're James mentions, obviously, you know, certain seats that are traditionally Labour, which the Tories want to turn blue in the Midlands and the North. I do think that within Number 10, it's always been their view since Boris Johnson got in, that the one area where the country is actually more right-wing, far more than the Westminster bubble and the people you meet at an SW1, you know, drinks party, is crime. And particularly because lots of people now are more experienced in, not by this I mean terrorism, but just, you know, crime in general. If you look at County Lines or those issues, there is a hardening in public attitude to wanting you know, tough responses to it. So I think that for that reason, you can see why this might give the Conservatives a boost.
James, this week also coincides with the NATO summit, where Donald Trump will be coming over, and both major parties want to push out their defence lines. Tell us about what's going on there.
So I think this is one of the great issues of uncertainty in the campaign. We've got 10 days to go, and in flies the great disruptor himself, Donald Trump. We know that he is doing at least one major broadcast interview while he's here, and a press conference. And if you are talking about things that would make you that make the Tory campaign nervous, this is undoubtedly one of them. Jeremy Corbyn would dearly love to turn this election into a question of, you know, whose side are you on? Mine or Donald Trump's? Because that is that rare thing. That is a popularity contest Jeremy Corbyn could win. And Jeremy Corbyn will try and use Donald Trump's presence here to kind of ramp up again his, the Tories are trying to sell the NHS off to the Americans. And so I think the question then becomes, you know, how much does Trump engage with that? How successful are the Tories in trying to make this point that, you know, that NATO has kept the West safe for 70 years and Jeremy Corbyn has opposed it, criticised it, all of those things. I think the Tories will struggle to get cut through that line. I think it more comes down to, what does Trump say? Does he say stuff that provides Jeremy Corbyn a kind of campaign fodder, or does he behave himself?
And Katie, the two main parties are putting out their defence pledges this week as well in order to commemorate NATO summit. What are they saying?
The Tories are keen to suggest that they are the party of defence, that they will actually boost defence, whereas Labour are saying they will stay committed to the 2% of GDP and they will keep Trident. But as we heard from Richard Burden on the leaders' debate last night, they wouldn't actually use it. So you could say a deterrent you don't need to use, but I still think the idea is of a deterrent is that you would use it if you really had to. So I think that'd be one push. And also on Trident, what's quite interesting is we've heard Nicola Sturgeon say that when it came to talks about propping up a Labour minority government, Trident would be something on the table that she would want to see axed, and I imagine at the very least move from Scotland. So I think that means that there is probably more potency to the argument about Trident and Jeremy Corbyn's personal views of it, because we know that he is very sceptical of it. They've kept it in the manifesto, they do it that way, but I think when you press certain politicians in the Labour shadow cabinet on it, their discomfort becomes very clear. And building up, I mean, we've got 10 days now to go until polling day, and on Friday we have a head-to-head debate between Boris Johnson and Jeremy Corbyn, and you do wonder if there might be one of the issues where he will try and land blows on the Labour leader.
James and Katie, thanks very much. And to hear more about the things we mentioned in this podcast, such as James and Katie's interview with Boris Johnson last week and what the NATO summit might hold for this election, do check out our weekly The Edition podcast. Just go to wherever you get your podcast from and search The Edition.